Thank you, Elder Denny. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all in the house of God this morning. Praise God for you being here. Thank God for you and for us being together today to worship God. It's all about the Lord. And as Elder Denny said, this is God's house. This is not our house. But thank God where he is, there's freedom, there's liberty. And we should feel right at home in God's presence. And whether you know it or not, you're my brother and my sister. We're kin. And so it's nice to meet you and glad you're here today for another day of family reunion. And it's hilarious. In the course of a week, you run into different people. And so I was with a buddy friend of mine the other day. And so we were talking about some of the restaurants and things around in the area. And of course, we were just talking and having fellowship together. And so a gentleman walked by, and I said, well, I can ask him. And so I said, sir, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, of course, we're married, and we were wondering. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, I said, of course, we're married. And it was a buddy of mine. And the first thought that he had, I guess, when I said that was, we're married. And that's exactly what I meant, was that we're married. And when it hit me, when I said what I said, and the girls are out shopping right now, and our wives are out looking around. And what I wanted to ask was, and I proceeded to ask my question. But isn't it hilarious how we say things sometimes and it just comes out completely wrong? But I'm glad you're here today. So glad you're here, and thank God for you. Thank God for God's blessings on your life. We do need to pray for Rosie Vasquez's family. Her brother out in San Antonio passed away this past week, and we just found out yesterday he had passed. So we need to remember Rosie and the family as they have a home going for him. And also Perry Rankin. We all knew Perry. Perry was part of our church for a long, long time. He and Elaine and Perry Rankin went to be with the Lord this past week as well. But we are welcoming in a new baby, I guess sometime in here in September. Leah Sasser and Jordan Sasser will have a new little one coming in next month. So today, I believe all the ladies are having kind of a drop-in shower here in the church for you from 4 to 6 for Leah and for Jordan Sasser. I don't think us guys aren't welcome today, but maybe they can bring us a piece of cupcake home or something. But remember them as well. As Leah, I believe, is just about ready to give birth to that sweet little one. And we're not sure yet what it is. They said they wanted to be surprised, so I guess we will be too. But we know he or she will be beautiful. Amen? This week I want to start a new series that I believe the Lord has impressed on my heart. And we see, again, different things, different challenges, different events going on around us. Changes. I mean, many changes. The life as we once knew it, how we lived, is different right now too, and so change is taking on a different face for us. Change more so in the way we live and the way we do, and that's okay. Change is okay. Change is healthy, but we've got to remember during those times that we can overcome the challenges of the changes, and so we face changes. There are some changes that we're kind of blindsided by. There are challenges as well. But we can overcome. Jesus has called us to be overcomers. In 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, speaking to all of us. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he, capital H, speaking of Jesus, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive and well today. And God, there's no change, there's no challenge, God, that is a dilemma for you. So, Lord, I pray that you give us insight into your word today. Give us encouragement. God, give us a heart to follow you and what we learned today about what you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We'll be looking in the book of Daniel, and we'll learn from the book of Daniel, these 12 chapters, God's principles to overcome. Daniel was an overcomer, but he still faced challenges. He faced many things. We'll be looking at that. But I want us to look at some principles out of God's word about Daniel. Daniel, during the time of events when the book of Daniel was written, Israel was being defeated because they didn't obey God. Isn't it something that God gives us instructions to be an overcomer, but sometimes we have our own ideas of what it takes, our own ways of doing things, and our ways of doing things aren't nearly as good as God's way of doing things. So Israel refused to obey God, and so they were being defeated, and God warned the people of Israel over and over again, but they refused to obey, so they were brought into captivity. And so Daniel was caught right in the middle of all this going on. But yet he continued his heart to follow God. And so that's what I want to encourage us, all of us, in these next few weeks beginning today, in that we continue to follow God in whatever we're facing. But if we pick up in Daniel chapter 1, we'll begin with verses 1 through 6. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, these are names that you won't run into every single day. Maybe we should start naming our children these names, that way we're used to saying them. The third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. He took over Israel. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God. This is referring to the church. The holy furniture and belongings in the church of Israel were taken over to Babylon, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, he was kind of his right arm, his VP, if you will, Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. In other words, the king Nebuchadnezzar wanted some of the cream of the crop, some of the guys that were above the average to serve him. In verse 4 it says, he wanted young men in whom there was no blemish, good looking, gifted, all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace. So King Nebuchadnezzar again wanted the best of the best, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies of the wine which he drank. In other words, he wanted to beef them up, give them the best of the best, give them some protein and wine and some T-bone and baked potato and all that stuff. But according to the Jewish law in Israel, these men were raised that they were not to partake in the things that were being given by the king. He wanted to give them 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. So he wanted some polished dudes. He wanted the best of the best. They wanted them cut and built up and strong. And now from among those of the sons of Judah, in verse 6, it calls out these men's names. Daniel was the first one, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And these four men, as we see, they had principles, they had standards, they had the things that were instilled in them by God. But we're going to see that here in this first chapter how that was put to the test. They had to stand by their standards in order to receive God's blessings. There will be changes and challenges that come into your life that will, as we'll get into more depth in a moment, that will test your principles, that will test your standards. And if we're not careful, we're prone to ease the pain and just go right along with the flow, leaving aside the standards that God has placed in our life. But God never changes. His principles never change. His foundation, his word never changes. Out of all these years, we're still living by the same word that he established. The closer we live to this word, the dotting of the I's and the crossing of the T's, it may not be the trend, but it will be God's blessing to come out of it. And so that's exactly what Daniel and these three men faced. God has a way of being effective without compromising what the world says we should do. And so his principles stand. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't better ways to do things. As we were facing back in March, a lot of you were at home. We had to stay at home. We actually didn't have church for a few weeks. And so we had to come up with some creative ways to be able to reach our community and reach people that weren't able to come to church by the word of God. And so I'm not saying that there aren't better ways for us to do things, but we can do things better, but yet sticking to the principles of God's word without compromise. And so God doesn't ever want us to conform to anyone else's standards just to be effective in what we're doing. We can be effective and still stick with God's standards. And so it's not my job, it never has been, 10 and a half years into being pastor here of the best church in the world, right here on St. Simon's Island. Amen. Wow. It's never been my job, nor never will be my job, to tell you what's right and what's wrong. To tell you what your personal convictions are. To tell you that, no, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. It is my job to preach the Word of God. It is my job to tell you what the Word of God says. And I've got to live by this Word just like you do. And so that is my job. My job is to teach you the Word of God. My job is to teach you how to hear from God and how to follow God. And so that's the extent of what I'm to do, and to coach and to love you, and for us to work together to bring all these things. But we can do all those things, and we can be better, and we can do things much better, but yet not have to compromise the standards and principles of God's Word. So I want to give you three challenges that the devil pitches to us every single day. There are many more challenges, but out of what we're reading today, there are three challenges that the devil pitches to us to try to trip us, to try to detain us, to try to take us from the principles of God. But I want to also give you the answers to those three so that we can see that we can be overcomers. We can overcome everything and anything that the devil pitches to us. There are many challenges today. There, as Crystal was praying a while ago, financial, relationships, health. There are many challenges right now. But in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, to them, speaking of Daniel and the other three men, to them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. Isn't that interesting? We just read the names of these four men, but yet the king Nebuchadnezzar, had his VP go and rename them. You remember in the last few weeks I've been talking about how God renames some people in the Bible to give them a new identity in him? And so that's something that God did. God would take someone's name, but when they came to the Lord, Saul, for example, Saul was a really, really bad dude. He was bad. But when he came to the Lord and realized the error of his ways and his sinful ways, he came to the Lord and said, God, forgive me. So God renamed him Paul. And so that happened throughout the scriptures. Well, did you know that the same way that God wants to give us a new identity, the devil wants to give us an identity in him as well? The devil wants us to take on his image and his likeness and to compromise against God's, because if he can cause us to identify with him, he can cause our backs to be against God. And so it said in verse 7, that he gave Daniel the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, he gave the name Shadrach. To the name Mishael, he gave Meshach. And to Azariah, he gave Abednego. Y'all recognize those names. And so the first challenge that we face, that the devil will pitch to us almost every single day, is for us to take on his identity. There will be things in your life. It's in business, it's in relationship. There will be things in your life presented to you that's a temptation to do things a little differently to come out with a better, effective answer. Right? I mean, I could spend a little while giving you some ideas, but I'm sure you can imagine there are some things that we can kind of get into the gray area a little bit and accomplish some more productive things, if you will. But it requires us to pull from the standards. The devil will tempt us in those ways every single day. What he's trying to do is change our identity. As we know in Genesis, God made us after his image. And so every one of us are created after God's image. So we don't come into this world having to, we've got to identify with God, but we already have his identity. We already look like him. We already sound like him. And so our voice is of God. But the devil can, as he did tempt Adam and Eve, he can come to us and give us the opportunity to sidestep our principles, our standards, to be more like the devil, counterfeit. And so what better way for the devil to promote himself than to cause us to act like him, to talk like him, to do the things that he does? So the devil will try to change our identity. He'll try to give us a new name. He'll try to change who we are in Christ to who he is as the accuser. God's identity for you is completely opposite of the devil's identity for you. You've got talents and abilities that the devil would love to utilize for his purpose rather than God using it for his purpose. Every talent that God's given us, the devil has a way of using it for his glory rather than God's glory. But God identifies us according to his image and his likeness. The devil can change your identity, and as he changes your identity, he will manipulate you into doing things that he wants you to do. And so the first name, Daniel was given to Daniel, and the Hebrew meaning of that is, God is my judge. I answer to God and God alone. When Daniel was renamed, his name Belshazzar means lady, protect the king. Isn't that interesting? Well, that's kind of off the wall, isn't it? Lady, protect the king. Think about it. The biggest attacks, one of the biggest attacks in our society today, are the confusion of gender. When God created male and female, he wasn't confused about who was, which one was he. But we see in our society today, there's much confusion about male and female. There's much confusion in that very name that was given to Daniel that replaced Daniel's name, Belshazzar, was Lady, Protect the King. The second name, Hananiah, in Hebrew, Hananiah means Yahweh has been gracious. What an amazing God I serve. That was the name. But when he was renamed Shadrach, Shadrach means I am fearful of God. God is not good. God is mad at you. What does the devil want us to believe today? The devil wants us to be fearful of God. The devil wants us to believe that God is not good. I heard a comment the other day, and this man said, out of all the things I've seen in my long life, I can't believe in God because of all the bad that's been done. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. When we look at circumstances in life, when we look at all the bad in this world today, and we blame it all on God, and God is not good, I'm fearful of God, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Because God is awesome. He's a good father. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The third name was Mishael. Well, Mishael in Hebrew means who is what God is. There's nobody like my God. When he was renamed Meshach, Meshach means I'm despised, contemptible, and humiliated. What does the devil try to do to the Christians today and to the church today? Contempt, humiliation, despise. This name's established lack of confidence in God. Why should our confidence be in God? He's disappointed us. He's not good. All these lies from the devil. And so these names were changed. Their identity was changed. They were trying to bring on a negative image of who God is rather than the truth of who God is. The devil wants us to think that. The devil wants to think that you're not relevant to him. The devil wants to think that you and I aren't relevant to God, that the church is not relevant to God today. But you're very much relevant. You're very much relevant. As we live, we breathe the very air that God gives us to breathe. And the fourth man, his name was Azariah. Azariah in Hebrew means Yahweh has helped. I am close to God, and he has helped me. That's the meaning of Azariah. Well, his name was changed to Abednego. Abednego means servant of Nebu, N-E-B-O, which is a god, small g god. The devil wants to shift our faithfulness into Jesus Christ and the God who lives into a slave of God. The devil wants to separate us from God. But the answer to this, the devil trying to change our identity, is for you and I to know who our identity is in. Know your identity. Know my identity. And our identity is in Jesus Christ. As we are created after God, we need to know that we're created after God even in the challenging times. Even when times are tough. And see, God knew that we'd have to have his strength. That's why he said that he's a very present help in time of trouble. There will be things in life, challenges in life, changes that we face in life that we can't face on our own, but we can face it, every single one, in Jesus Christ. Our identity is in Jesus. Our identity is in Jesus. Even your talents, even your abilities, even your personality is in Jesus Christ. He made all of us different. Aren't you glad? I mean, we can have a blast because we're all different. Elder Denny has a great way of telling jokes, a lot better than I can. I can't remember them. We all have a different part, and we all bring different things into life together, and I love it. God is awesome. And so our identity is in Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship. He put us together. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's who you are. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The best way to know who we are is to look in the owner's manual. I mean, you're talked about in here. You're talked about in here. I'm talked about in here. And the promises in this book are for you and for I. They're all in here for us that we can draw closer to God and know who we are in him and know the plans that he has for us are good. The next challenge that the devil will pitch to us every day is Daniel. Let's look at Daniel 1:8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He had the purpose in his heart. In other words, if he had gone by his own inclination or his own human effort, it might have been different. But he had a purpose in his heart. He had to know who he was in Christ. He had to know who he was in God. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, understand, the scripture that we're reading today is much more about food and drink. The principle that I'm trying to communicate, that I believe the Word of God is communicating to us, is that our standards be in God. Don't go away from here and say that it's bad to eat T-bone. Amen? So the principle is found in God's Word. What Daniel didn't want to defile himself in doing was to be like the others, to stand on the standard and the principles of God's Word. And so he requested, as it says here, he requested of Ashpenaz that he might not defile himself. So he had to take a stand. You know what? It's hard to take a stand sometimes. It's hard to take a stand because we're going against the group. We're going against sometimes the majority. We stick out like a sore thumb. Well, I don't want to bring attention to myself. It's not about bringing attention to yourself. It's about bringing forth the standards that God has put in your life. You know, there are very few that can stand for what's right today. It's a lot easier to go with the flow than it is to stand. It takes guts to stand. It takes guts to stand for the principles of God's word. But Daniel approached him and requested him not to be required to go against his principles. So the challenge is to change our principles, into what's something different than what God wants us to be. The devil wants to manipulate you. The devil wants to cause you to look differently at God, to doubt God, to fear God, and to change our principles. See, our principles and our convictions is really the Lord speaking to us in our heart. It's when our heart becomes seared. It's when we do things so many times over and over that we have no conscience anymore. We have no convictions. We have no principles any longer. And that's a dangerous place to be. It's not too late. If you're here and you hear me today, it's not too late to come back to God, even if your heart is seared. Even if you've gone so far away from God, as Crystal was saying earlier, and done the most awful thing in the world, we can see that God not only brought back people that came back to him that did some awful things, not only did they come back, but he used them to do great things. It's amazing how God can use somebody that was so awful and so against God to be such a spokesman and bring about the miracles of God. So you're never too gone. You're never too far out to come back to God. As long as there's breath in your body, never, ever is it going too far. But the principles and convictions of God's word will help us to establish those standards, help us to establish those principles. And so when our natural temptation is to go with the flow, we can have something well up in us and say, you know what? I would rather not. I'd rather not. I'd rather stand by my principles. Because giving in is a lot easier than standing up. I remember as I was studying and praying about this past week, I was remembering Lynn, my sister, who's 2 years younger than me. And when I was younger, I had a tendency to be a boy and to just... I'm sorry? Wreak havoc. Thank you. Did you know me when I was a boy? She had five brothers. And so when I was younger, I would do, well, there was one day that my sister caught me in something that I was doing. I don't know, I was probably 10 years old. And so me and the guys had gone out to the woods and we had saved up, I think back then, they were $1.50 or $1.25. So we went in this little Jiffy store at the corner up there and bought a pack of the red packs and went to the woods. And so my sister was looking for her brother and friends. And so she walks up and here we are and all sitting around and 10 years old and going to town. When my sister walked up, the first thing I thought of is, oh my goodness, she's going to tell on me. And so what did I do? I said, Lynn, come here, take a drag. So I made her do it. Number one, I wouldn't get in trouble. And then she wouldn't tell on me because she did it too. Sometimes the devil will cause us to drop our standards just so he feels better about himself. The devil will manipulate us into changing our principles. And I was guilty. I thought, you know what? The best way for me to get out of trouble is to make her do it too. Smart. Thank God. God bless her. But the answer to that, the answer to the devil coming against us and wanting to change our principles is for us to obey God's principles. There is great benefit and great reward in us obeying what God has called us to do. Obey God's principles. Convictions are established in us by reading his word. Did you know that there are some convictions that God has put in my life that aren't even in the word of God? You say, well, God doesn't expect any more out of us than what he's put in the word, does he? No, he really doesn't. But there are some things that you might get by with that maybe some others can't get by with. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Without naming specifics, there are some things that maybe people are in the world today that you've been convicted of. You see them doing it. Well, if they're doing it, why can't I do it? And you try to do it and you feel guilty for doing it. Well, that's a personal conviction that God's put on your heart that you're not supposed to do. Why? Is it in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. But the closer you draw to God, the more he expects out of you. It's kind of like a son or daughter, your children. And those of you that have children, you'll understand this. You want them to be all that they can be. When they've accomplished this goal, you've got another goal. You can do that. You know, I was good in school to get by with a C. If I made a C, throw a party. I mean, I ain't kidding. School was, I didn't really care for school that much. Hey, I had fun hanging out with the guys. But my sister, on the other hand, she made A's. And if she slipped to an A-, it was the end of the world. And I'm thinking, well, how about if you're going to be mad anyway, take my C and I'll take your A-. But God expects us to do more. He knows our potential. He knows what you're capable of if you don't have the distractions in life pulling away. And so you see other people in even around town, and they're doing things and doing this, doing that, the other, and it's fine, you know. I mean, there are plain sins in the Word of God in black and white. But outside of that, as long as we abide by the Word of God, that's all he's asked us to do. But lo and behold, if I go try to do it, I feel like the Lord's speaking to me and saying, Mike, step back. I'm thinking, God, why can't I? He's doing it. And so many times you'll experience that. You'll experience as you draw closer to God, God will establish principles in you that you try to go to the Word and God and find to justify a way to get around it. But God has spoken it to you. I would rather you not do that. I'd rather you not do that. Why? Because he loves you. James 4:17 speaks to this. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. Wow, that clipped that, didn't it? All kind of stories run through my mind. It takes too long. Obeying God's principles. See, God wants us to fulfill our greatest potential. He has a destiny for us. And we can get by. I think I've heard Elder Denny say this before. I think I've heard all of our elders say this before. Our money, we can give just enough money just to get by and say, I'm giving to God. And this is only used as an example. But it's the time that when we were at another church that God spoke to my heart and they were raising money to build a building and God spoke to my heart and says, give $3,000. It's like, I know I did not hear from God. That's got to be the devil. Because we didn't have much more than that in savings at the time. And it's like, God, you want us to deplete our savings. And I didn't dare say it to Crystal. Crystal sitting beside me when she heard that and when that just kind of punched me in the gut. And he said, give $3,000 for this building. And when I turned to tell Crystal after he wouldn't go away and my palms got sweaty and I started getting a little nervous and the offering plate was just about to be passed around, and when I looked at her and said, I believe we need to give $3,000. She said, yes, let's do it. I'm thinking, oh, no, you weren't supposed to say that. But in Daniel chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So while Daniel decided to stand in his principles, Daniel had favor with the VP. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, in other words, Nebuchadnezzar, I fear that he has appointed you the food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? In other words, if you don't eat the food and drink what's been put in front of you that's going to be good for you, if you don't do that, you're going to look awful. And these other guys that are eating it and drinking it, they're going to look great and cut and strengthened and strong, and it's going to be obvious that I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and my head is going to be on the block, it says. Then you're going to endanger my head before the king. And so he was worried, you know, thinking that if you're going to eat broccoli and drink water, you know, after a few days of that, dude, you're going to look a little poor. And then after 30 days or so, we're going to be 3 years into this thing, and whose head's going to be on the block? It's going to be my head. I don't suggest we do that. So Daniel, this is what Daniel says to him in verse 11. Said, so Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Daniel said, please test your servant for 10 days. Give it 10 days and test them. Let's see, with us eating what we're going to eat and drink and what they're going to be eating and drink, test for 10 days. Now, it's interesting that he used 10 days. He could have said 3 days. He could have said 30 days. He could have said 60 days, but he said 10 days. If we notice in the Word of God, 10 commandments, there are 10 commandments. Number 10 is a number of testing. There's 10 commandments. There's the 10th for the tithe. The disciples were in the upper room before the day of Pentecost. How long were they in the upper room? For 10 days. The church of Smyrna, which is found in Revelation chapter 2, was tested for 10 days. There's something about 10. Daniel said, test your servants for 10 days. Let's test them. We're going to do our thing, what we feel like we need to do, our principles. We're going to stand by our principles, and you do what you think is right for the other guys. Don't say anything. Let's just test it for 10 days. Let me tell you that you will be tested. There will come a time that you and I are tested, that our principles, and it might even happen when you leave here today. In the last few weeks when God has been speaking to people and drawing us all closer to him, you know what's happened? The devil has turned up the heat just a tad. Why? Because there's a period of testing. He turns up the heat. You say, well, the closer I get to God, seems like the worse it gets. That's temporary because that's a time of testing. God is building something in us to be an overcomer. And I love what we read. Chris and I actually read the same article, I think, yesterday, and it said that a sailor can't be a good sailor without first going through the storm. So would you want to be in a boat with a sailor that's never been through a storm before? If he ever hits a storm and he's never faced one, we were in Alaska a few years ago. And in Alaska, we had come out of the channel and headed from one part of Alaska to another part of Alaska, and that boat was sideways. Now, it was carrying 2,000 people, and this boat is sideways. And we walked to go to dinner one night, and you'd have thought I'd been drinking something most of the day because I was walking down the hallway hanging on the handrail in a suit and tie and got to the table, and you know if I can't eat, something's wrong. Well, I couldn't eat. And so we got to the table, and I told Crystal, I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. I said, let me get to my room and go to bed. So I did. Well, she sat and ate. I don't know how she did it. She stayed and ate. And got, yeah. And so when she got back to the room, I had the lights out. I was, don't wake me up. I'm good right here. And so about halfway through the night, She said, is it still storming? I said, I don't know. So I flipped the light on and looked. I pulled the curtain back because we had a balcony there and looked back, and the water was over the rail. I mean, it was still sitting sideways. Well, the man came on the radio about that time, and he said, y'all bear with us. We're trying to keep the boat upright. That's his very words. Crystal said, you know what? That's the last thing I need to hear, that he's trying to keep this boat upright. Thank God it passed. We got back into the channel. Before it was all over with, she ordered me a P&J and milk, and I went back to sleep. And But you'll be tested. There'll be a time of testing. Testing is the only way to prove authenticity. Everything that's worth anything has been tested. So Daniel said, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. That's where the Daniel fast came from. You've heard of the Daniel fast? You've got to be led of God to do that. The Daniel fast. Amen. For any amount of time. So Daniel continues in verse 13, says, then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. In other words, compare them and then you deal with your servants. So he consented. The VP consented with him in this matter, and he tested them for 10 days. He agreed to do what Daniel asked him to do. See, the devil's going to try to deceive you. Number three, the devil tries to deceive you into you thinking that you've got to let down your principles in order to be successful. You've got to let down your principles in order to do whatever it is that you're trying to do. You can actually meet your goals, though. You can meet your goals and exceed your goals by sticking with the principles of God's word. The devil tries to deceive us into believing something that is not true. Why wouldn't Daniel have believed King Nebuchadnezzar? Now, King Nebuchadnezzar didn't get there as a dum-dum. He had to have been a fairly smart man, right? And so the VP was there. He had to have been a fairly smart man. They know what was good food and what was not good food. They know what was healthy. They had their own gym there. They had their own workout regimen and all that they were doing. So these were smart guys. But Jesus reminds us, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so if we believe that he's always with us, that means he'll give us the strength to always do what he's called us to do. That we don't have to be deceived by the lies of the devil. We don't have to compromise. We don't have to say, well, if I do it this way or do it that way, maybe it'll be better. So the answer to the devil deceiving us is to don't give up. Do not give up. Continue in what God has called you to do. Don't give up on the faithfulness of God. Don't give up on the word of God. Don't give up on the promises of God. What he says he will do, he will do. You're going through a little heated moment now. You're going through a little trying time now. Maybe you feel like you're in the middle of that 10 days that's been lasting for 3 months. More like March, April, May, June, July, August. More like 6 months, maybe. The devil uses deceptive thoughts. What's the use? Life is too hard. I can't get past this hardship. Could be that you said that this week. But Galatians 6:9 is the confirmation of this answer. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. Don't grow weary. What do? Keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. God will make us stronger through the testing that we're facing today. God will make you stronger through the testing that you're facing today. You didn't ask for it. You didn't bargain for it. If you had it your way, you would go around it. But there's something that God is doing in your life that cannot be accomplished any other way. There's a schooling that the sailor has to go through that he cannot be a good sailor but by one way, that is to go through a time of testing. And in verse 15 of Daniel 1 says, at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter. Now that's not necessarily the word that we're looking for, is it? But what that means is more healthy, right? More healthy, just more built, more better, robust. I like that. Better and fatter in flesh than all the young men. So they compared them, and out of all those young men, they appeared better and fatter than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. See, God always does things better. God always has a better plan for us. Sticking with God's plan, even though it doesn't look like it's good, is always good. It's always better. God has a way of making us even look better. He did it to Daniel, right? He can make you girls look even younger. All right. I got an amen there. God has a way of making us better, look better, be better, do better. And so in verse 16 it says, thus the steward, the VP, took away their portion. He took it away of their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge, skill in all literature, wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. If we were to go into chapter 2 of Daniel, we'll see that God even used Daniel to interpret the king's dreams. And so this was just a prelude of Daniel being used even more. See, God was building something in Daniel to accomplish greater things. And we'll see that in the weeks to come. Even to the point that King Nebuchadnezzar declared that that Daniel's God was the God, was the capital G God. King Nebuchadnezzar said that. Why? Because of the stand that Daniel took. And in verse 18 it says, "Now at the end of those days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, before they served before the king." Remember, the king wanted the most built, wanted the best looking, the sharpest. And so the king said that these are the best. Verse 20, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better. 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm." God will make you exceed those that had even gone to school and prepared to do what you're doing, what you're about to enter into. God will give you favor even beyond them because you are favored by God. That's for you today. That's for us today. That we can exceed even the expectations of others. How did they get to where they are? How are they doing so well? Because God's favor is on them. Preference will be given to those who obey God. Favor will be given to those who obey God. And you know what? It could be the favor of the world. The favor of the world. They don't know why they like you better. They don't know why, but they prefer you over this other one that has gone to school for 6 years to do what you're doing. God's favor is on you because you're standing in the principles and the faithfulness of God. God will make you 10 times better than what you could be on your own. God will cause you to be preferred, favored, when we obey and follow his instruction. You are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is greater in you than he who is in the world. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Did Daniel know exactly what to expect? Did Daniel know exactly what the things he would face? No, he didn't. He came in with a predetermination that he was going to trust God anyway. I want to encourage you today to trust God anyway. Don't get your eyes on the situations. Don't get your eyes on the circumstances. But trust God anyway. Daniel had no clue. For all Daniel knew, that he was going to lose his life for going against the instruction of the king. What's going to happen if I go against what the king is asking me to do? But Daniel stood up anyway. I want to encourage you today to stand in the principles of God. Whatever God is calling you to do, you don't have to know how it's going to turn out. Just know who God is. See, Daniel went into this knowing his identity in God. He went into this knowing that God was his king and God was his savior. We've got to know that our identity is in God. We've got to know that our obedience to God through his principles is important. Daniel knew that. Daniel knew that he had to stand in the principles that God had established. And Daniel didn't give up. He didn't give up. Even when the VP said, "You know what, if you're wrong here, it's my head on the block." Daniel said, "Let's do it anyway. Give me 10 days and let's try it." Listen, you might be in the middle of that 10 days. You may be just approaching the first day. But don't lose heart. God is with you. God is with you. God's got a plan. God's going to turn things around to your favor. But we've got to be faithful to God. I'm going to ask Wendy to lead us this morning in song and worship. Crystal, come.